Praise 100.9 and 92.7 Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share your thoughts, your perspective, and your views on a broad range of issues impacting your neighborhood, community, your city, our nation, and indeed our world. We have another great show for you this morning, albeit a thought-provoking and provocative show. Of course, as you know, the shutdown of government has led the news and is perhaps the number one discussion in our country. 71% of Americans opposed a government shutdown, as well as efforts by Republicans to attach the Affordable Care Act to a bill that is before the House. Yet, Speaker John Boehner flip-flopped on prior statements that he would not do the very thing that is potentially destructive to our economy and to the American people, using ancillary measures, in this case the Affordable Care Act, as a mechanism to shut down government. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I'm excited about that because I know that this is, of course, the number one discussion in our country. So coming up, the Affordable Care Act, the shutdown of government, here on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Community Voices with Ron Holland. In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting. Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart. Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
It is quite fascinating to see the nonsensical political machinations taking place in Washington, D.C. There are 800,000 federal workers right now furloughed. That's 800,000 people, dedicated federal employees, whose livelihood is negatively impacted because of a recalcitrance that is taking place in Washington, D.C. National parks are closed, which, of course, results in millions of dollars in lost revenue. We can't go to our national parks. And there are some folks, particularly on the Republican side, who scoff at the idea that this is impacting people in a huge way. They mock the idea that going to the national parks, our beloved resources, where we are able to enjoy nature and able to enjoy the outdoors. These are treasures in this country, and Republicans, particularly Tea Party types, are mocking and making fun of the idea that national parks are being closed. We're talking about millions of dollars in revenue. This is impactful. This is huge. And they are making a mockery out of it. Military vets are now living under a foreboding shadow of uncertainty as their benefits hang in the balance. And of course, I would encourage you to be cautious about the tuna fish sandwich that you're going to be eating because it is profoundly scary to me that we have no federal inspectors, because the FDA has suspended food inspection. And so that means that the tuna fish or other seafood that you're enjoying, the meat, the very apparatus that's charged in inspecting and providing safety in terms of the food that we consume, that agency has been hit because of a government shutdown. And so again, I caution you to be very careful about the crab cakes and the tuna fish sandwich that is on the plate before you, because again, when you extricate the kinds of federal inspections out of the system, we're talking about federal inspectors who are tasked with the responsibility of ensuring that the food that's on our table is safe. And so that element of our government, and see, one of the interesting things is Republicans bemoan and besmirch government in such a way as to, they give off the air of actually hating government. But the FDA is tasked with the responsibility to ensure our safety in terms of the food that we consume. And so this is part of government, and this is part of government that they want to bring down. See, they don't care about the idea that we have an apparatus in place tasked with the responsibility of ensuring that or making sure that there are no corners cut with regard to safety, no corners cut with regard to inspections. And so this is the reason why government is important. Now, I don't want to go off on that tangent, but I do think it's important to know that there are people in this country who are part of our government that actually hate government and will do anything to bring government down. That's at the heart of this. Homeland Security, we're talking about a critical part of our national security. And news reports are suggesting that there are hundreds, perhaps a couple of thousand folks in our security apparatus that have been furloughed or are without a job at this moment. And we're talking about critical analysis of intelligence not being done primarily because of this government shutdown. And I want you to take a listen to Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper.
I've been in the intelligence business for about 50 years. I've never seen anything like this. From my view, I think this, on top of the sequestration cuts that we're already taking, that this seriously damages our ability to protect the safety and security of this nation and its citizens. This is not just a beltway issue. This affects our global capability to support the military, to support diplomacy, and to support our policymakers. And the danger here, of course, that this will accumulate over time. The damage will be insidious. So each day that goes by, the jeopardy increases. This is a dreamland for foreign intelligence service to recruit, particularly as our employees already, many of whom subject to furloughs driven by sequestration, are going to have, I believe, even greater financial challenges. So from my standpoint, this is extremely damaging. And it will increase so as this shutdown drags on.
This is some scary stuff. There are potential attacks all around the world. And we're talking about a security apparatus that has been hampered, not just by sequestration, as Clapper has indicated, but because of this government shutdown, we don't have folks in the having the ability to analyze critical information. And one of the interesting things that really rung out for me is the idea that there are foreign intelligence services in place around the world that are looking at this very moment the opportunity to exploit the situation by exploiting individuals who are in our intelligence agencies, primarily because these folks are without a paycheck, without a job. And of course, when you are in that kind of situation, you're subject to all kinds of exploitation. And I hope that's not the case. I hope their loyalty to our country is much stronger and more heftier than the idea of being bribed by some foreign intelligence agency. But again, putting us in this situation, and let me remind you all, the folks responsible for this government shutdown, these are the very people that boast about their ability to ferret through foreign intelligence and understand the threats that are being leveled at our country, and that they are for the military and they are for the protection of our country, and yet they gut everything related to this issue. This, to me, is atrocious. It is despicable what these folks are doing. And this is what happens when you have ideologues from gerrymandered districts. When you give them access to this kind of power, this is the result. And it's sad. It really is sad. Now, I want to be clear about this. And from the outset, it's an interesting thing to, you know, when you have a particular perspective. Now, I've argued with conservatives about this issue. In fact, one of my conservative friends usually stops by and we have a debate on these issues. But I wanted to have some solo time to kind of clarify some things, because it is important for all of you to understand as you're driving on 77 and 85, or of course, many of you are working the overnight shift. There needs to be clarity about this, because In my judgment, there are some reckless, irresponsible, and yes, delusional people in the Republican Party, namely the Tea Party members, and particularly the Tea Party caucus. And you know, why are you calling? No, I'm not calling folks names. I am telling you, these are folks who absolutely hate government. Congress is being led by the nose and by the tail, by the Tea Party caucus. That quite frankly, and I know many of you understand this, these folks hate President Obama. And to be really frank, as I've said, these people represent, and I'm talking about the Tea Party, they represent a segment of the population that not only hate President Obama, but they hate government altogether. And it's almost impossible to work with people whose ideology and their hatred of government stands in the way of meaningful dialogue and compromise. These folks are people who have an almost irrational fear that black helicopters are going to swoop down and take their guns and take their property and take their friends' view of what it means to be free in this country. And it is their expressed mission to destroy anything to do with government. These are folks that are responsible for the government shutdown. These are the representatives of individuals who absolutely deplore government, despite the fact that they are major beneficiaries of almost every government program in this country. So you can dress these folks up in suits. You can give them a prestigious title. You can call them congressmen or senator this and senator that. You can acknowledge their ability to articulate their political worldview. But at the end of the day, my friends, there is a seething disdain and hatred for the very institutions that provide them a paycheck, that allow them to raise millions in political funds and give them the opportunity to express their fringe and delusional views on media outlets. They get that opportunity and they look good doing it. But back home, when the suit is off, the tie is put away, the cufflinks are gone and neatly tucked away in the jury box, these are disdainful people who absolutely hate government. They will put on their mask and they will put on their suits and they will sound articulate and they will have this air of caring for the government. But at the same time, there's something seething, something bubbling underneath in their spirit. They hate government. So when you ferret through all of the political spin and the feckless attempt to place blame on both the Republicans and the Democrats, what is profoundly clear? The cause of all the turmoil in Washington, D.C. right now, the reason we have a government shutdown, the reason there is so much division in our country, is because we've allowed a rabidly hateful crowd access to the halls of power. You're not going to hear this on any other program. I can guarantee you that. But these are things that has to be said, because at the end of the day, when you turn off the television, you have to ask yourself, why is there so much division in this country? It's not simply because of President Obama's refusal to negotiate. The fact of the matter is, President Obama, as he indicated the other day, he's bent over backwards, reaching out to Republicans. And at every turn, his hand is slapped back. So why should he trust individuals who have proven time after time after time that the only thing they're interested in is his political destruction, erasing him from the memory of the history books? That is their number one priority and goal. So we need all of you to understand, we have to unpack all of this. Behind the government shutdown are efforts by the Republican Party, namely the Tea Party caucus, that is wielding unbelievable power and leverage in Congress. It's their attempt to defund the Affordable Care Act, derisively known as Obamacare. But they also want to completely destroy President Obama and his signature legislation. That's behind the government shutdown. That is what we're dealing with. And folks like to assign blame to both the Republicans and the Democrats. The shutdown of government falls squarely, and I want you to hear me and hear me well, this falls squarely on the Republican Party and their rapidly fringe Tea Party caucus. I want to be clear about that. There is no pox on both houses. There is no parity in blame. Blaming the Democrats for this mess suggests that there is an information deficit. You haven't been reading. You haven't been reading the information that is readily available as to who is causing all of this. The American people decided the Affordable Care Act with the re-election of President Obama. The Supreme Court upheld the constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act. And the Senate took up this issue 42 times, clearing the way for the Affordable Care Act to be part of the fabric of our democracy and our society. So this was decided on. And so what the Tea Party has done is hijacked the process, hijacked our democracy. They are attempting to undermine the democratic process by injecting their hatred for President Obama and their irrational hatred for government. They attached the Affordable Care Act to the budget, which amounts, in my judgment, to political malpractice, because the Tea Party ideologues knew well in advance that a shutdown of government would not stop the Affordable Care Act from proceeding. And I want to repeat that. The Tea Party knew this stupidity would not stop the Affordable Care Act from proceeding. They understood that implicitly. And yet they went on with this. And I want to be clear. These folks, as I said earlier, have an irrational black helicopter hovering over the House hatred of government, and they will do anything and everything they can to stymie government at every corner. And it's a shame. This is a shame. And interestingly, these are the folks that say they are listening to the American people. 72% of the American people oppose their efforts to attach the Affordable Care Act to the budget negotiations and did not want government shut down. These folks are not listening to the American people. They are driven by their hatred of Obama and their hatred of government. And they are driven and encouraged by a population, a small segment of the population that has absolute disdain for government. That is the bottom line. So, where do we go from here? Well, the Affordable Care Act has been chugging along. 2.8 million people visited the federal government's health care website. Folks have an opportunity now to compare and choose plans. And of course, they got an opportunity to plan ahead. Now, of course, January 1st is the enrollment period is from October 1st to January 1st. And there is huge interest in this. And although there are folks who are rooting for failure, there's an equal number of people in this country and perhaps even more who are hoping for success. And understand something, and I want to be absolutely clear. There are millions of people, 30 millions, in fact, who are without health care. And you have to ask yourself the question, why are these people so dead set against providing health care for 30 million people? That's the bottom line of all of this. Get to the root, get to all of, you know, peel back the onion and get to the root cause of this argument. And at the end of the day, these folks are willing to bring down government and bring down our system to prevent 30 million people from obtaining health care in this country. It is amazing to me. Yeah, interesting article I read the other day. It says the apparent high interest in using the health insurance exchanges, online marketplaces for the uninsured and people who don't get job-based health benefits wasn't limited to the 30-plus states received by healthcare.gov. 16 states and the District of Columbia also at least partially launched their own health insurance exchanges on Tuesday. In New York, the state health exchange logged more than 10 million visits. the agency announced. Kentucky's health exchange called KINAC took in nearly 2,000 applications and completed 1,235 of them. And its website received 57,000 visits, according to news releases. And so there is huge interest in this Affordable Care Act. And let me disabuse the notion, because the thought just popped in my mind. I want to disabuse the notion that President Obama has refused to negotiate. The Affordable Care Act is born out of compromise. Do you understand that there are people, particularly those of us who are progressive and liberal, we wanted a single payer system. But the president initially, going back, if you go back to 2009, as we were arguing this issue, I heard a Tea Party Republican say the other day that we need to debate this issue because they hadn't been given time to. You had time. This is an issue that has been argued since President Obama took office, since he started running for office. So I want to disabuse the notion that he hasn't compromised. He has compromised. We advocated a single payer system. He has compromised, folks. You think about the budget that's before the House today that the Republicans refused to vote on, refused to have a up or down vote on a continuing resolution. This is nothing but compromise, because the numbers that President Obama ultimately agreed upon are numbers that he actually did not want. But there was compromise. And in fact, these numbers reflect the budget numbers of Paul Ryan. And so there was nothing but compromise. But the Republicans, particularly the Tea Party, they refused to have an up and down vote on this particular budget, number one. And number two, they have attached the Affordable Care Act to the budget, which they understood would not stop the Affordable Care Act from proceeding. And it is amazing to me. And, you know, and now that I think about it, I want to give kudos to Jimmy Kimmel for exposing the profound ignorance of low information voters on those who are Obama bashing bigots. I watched the other day, he sent that camera crew out and he was asking individuals, would they prefer the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare? And folks who absolutely had nothing but disdain for President Obama, they bashed Obamacare, not understanding that they are the same thing. They are the same thing. Now, I'm in the public square. As a public affairs host, I'm expected to know and study these issues. I spend a great deal of time ferreting through the noise and the political spin. But as voters, folks, we're equally responsible for having an understanding of these issues. Relying on Fox News and the right-wing echo chamber produces nothing but ignorance, as we've seen on Jimmy Kimmel. It was absolutely amazing. And the sad part is, these folks revel in ignorance. They're so blinded by their hatred of Obama that they are willing participants in their own stupidity. That's the bottom line. Yes, I said it. So if you want to assign blame, you blame those who are responsible for the shutdown, and that blame, again, falls squarely on the Republicans. Because when a measure or bill is sent to Congress that is hugely beneficial to the country, and either side employs a bevy of tricks to kill the bill, not based on prudence or sound policy, but politics and a positioning for the next election, because that's what this is about, that's a failure of leadership. And it is at this point you can measure and you can place blame. Because in the instance of the Affordable Care Act, the American people were presented with both sides of the argument prior to the last presidential election and during. Mitt Romney, Fox News, right-wing media outlets, pundits, bloggers advanced their best argument about the Affordable Care Act. And the president and the American people made their choice. Elections have consequences. And the election that was conducted in 2012, President Obama won handily, and he is serving his second term. And so when this issue came before the Supreme Court, that august body rendered a verdict and upheld the Affordable Care Act. And as I said earlier, Republican members of Congress acted on this issue 40 plus times in the last 2 years, and it was struck down each time. So I want to wrap this up because it's important for all of us to understand the Affordable Care Act is an important part of the American fabric at this point. And yes, there are going to be fits and starts. There are going to be some kinks to be worked out. There are going to be some problems initially. But I want to remind all of you, Rome was not built in a day. I want to remind you, hundreds of years after the signing of the Constitution, the Emancipation Proclamation, we have still yet to perfect our democracy. Programs like Social Security, although it is ingrained in our society, it took quite a long time for it to gain footing. If you look at private markets and free enterprise ventures, those leaders in those industries will tell you that there are constant adjustments and readjustments until you get things right. And I know that there are individuals who are rooting for failure here. It's unfortunate. But I want to remind you that there are people who are rooting for success. Millions of people have taken the time to log on to these websites to find out and to make comparisons and to learn about the Affordable Care Act. And the amazing thing is there is huge interest. And so when you have individuals rooting for failure, it's unfortunate. I'm not rooting for failure. I'm rooting for success. And if there's any way the American people can help that process along, I would certainly encourage you to do that, primarily because it is for all of our benefit. Because when you think about it, there is 1,346,603, 17% of North Carolina's population, uninsured, but are eligible for the Affordable Care Act. 987,000, or 73%, of those families have a full-time worker. So this is a hugely important issue. 4 million people, non-elderly, in North Carolina have some type of pre-existing condition, including 539,000 children. So providing health care for individuals who lack it, who need it, who require it, it is our social responsibility, a social contract, if you will. And if you look at the numbers, in every state, for the first time under federal law, insurance companies are required to publicly justify their actions if they want to raise rates by 10% or more. This is the benefit of this thing. So if you want to talk about bringing down prices, this is one of the areas where there is benefit. The law is banning insurance companies from imposing lifetime dollar limits on health benefits, freeing cancer patients and individuals suffering from other chronic diseases from having to worry about going in without treatment because of their lifetime limits. Very interesting article that I've been reading here. Already 3 million people in North Carolina, including 1 million, over 1 million women and 804,000 children are free from worrying about lifetime limits on coverage. So what we've seen from the Republicans, there is absolutely no shame. They say they are concerned about the costs associated with the Affordable Care Act. They say they abhor the mandates associated with the act, despite their strong advocacy for individual mandates prior to the president pushing for and advocating the measure. They say that individual states should be allowed to determine the direction of their health care needs. I am telling you that their argument falls far short of being truthful. Because this, again, is about politics and it's about destroying President Obama's legacy, because they are appealing to a fringe base that is ever decreasing. And they are sending a clear message to even Republicans. That's why they're pulling John Boehner by the nose. They are sending a clear message to the rest of the Republicans who are willing to compromise that they will be primaried. So that's what this is about. So if they were successful at repealing Obamacare, do you understand that repealing the Affordable Care Act would increase the deficit by upward of $100 billion over 10 years? It would also shorten the life of the Medicare Trust Fund by 10 years. Repealing Obamacare would raise taxes on 18 million middle-class families. Repealing of the ACA would mean that 129 million Americans, including 17 million children, would lose the security of knowing that they cannot be denied coverage or charged more due to pre-existing conditions. So this is what we're dealing with here, folks. And those of us in North Carolina who understand what it means to have Republican leadership deploy all kinds of political machinations to disrupt the implementation of Obamacare, just like other states, this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a group of individuals who absolutely have nothing but disdain for government and disdain for President Obama. You think about it. We are the most powerful country in the world, and we have yet to figure out how we can provide adequate health care for every citizen in this country. It is an amazing thing. When you think about kids who are able to stay on their parents' health insurance until they're 26, you think about pre-existing conditions no longer being a barrier for people getting health care. You think about senior citizens having access to greater prescription drugs and the bevy of benefits that come along with having health care. You think about a society that says we'd rather care for our citizens than leaving them out in the streets. This is not socialism. This is having a major responsibility and contract with the American people. That's what this is about at the end of the day. And yeah, I kind of ranted on, but I wanted you to hear the passion. And because when we talk about government shutdown and when we talk about preventing people from having the kinds of resources that make life a little bit easier, when you prevent people from doing that, that's where the division comes in. And so the crowd that has this irrational view of government, I am going to repeat this. These are folks who are in the Republican Party and represent a small segment of our population, but they are wielding huge amounts of power. And they are in districts, gerrymandered districts that ensure their safety. You know, the only thing that they have to worry about is being primaried in their home districts. So they are in safe districts, so they can be as rabidly fringe as all they want. But we as a country have got to put these folks on the periphery and deny them access to this kind of power, primarily because the result is a significant hurt to our economy and to the fabric of our country. We're going to take a quick break. When I come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. I want to urge all of you to pay close attention to this government shutdown, the machinations that are taking place in Washington, D.C. Although it is disappointing, it is critical that we pay close attention because the American people are now being called upon to help end this recalcitrance. And so we have to pay close attention. As you know, October is Breast Cancer Month. And of course, domestic violence features large during October as well. And we're going to be addressing these issues. So stay tuned. We're going to be talking about these issues next week. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. I also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronhollands.blogspot.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.